The Florida Panhandle is slated to receive $10 million in state grants to help pay for upgrades in local stormwater infrastructure. The money comes as local governments are considering new stormwater management systems in the wake of a major flood event in April. In this report, WUWF's Josh Morton takes a look at how development practices over the years have contributed to the area's drainage problems and what some environmentalists are proposing as solutions.
A lot of the issues associated with stormwater runoff can be attributed to patterns of city and neighborhood development over the past several decades.
The way we use the land really changed dramatically starting in the mid-20th century.
Christian Wagley is a local environmental advocate and green building consultant.
Because of the automobile and because of zoning, we separated everything out and spread everything apart, and the automobile allowed us to still move around between those different places. Once we did that, we started taking up a lot more land to build our communities, and it pushed us into those marginal areas, including these low-lying areas that are flood-prone.
Wagley thinks it's time to use a smarter approach to development. Barbara Albrecht agrees. She says when it comes to building, it's time to start paying more attention to the natural lay of the land and the way the planet functions.
Everybody feels the need to live right next to the water, right on top of a creek, without thinking about the consequences of the geographic landscape that we live in.
Albrecht is president of the Brim Fishermen Association and also serves as volunteer watershed coordinator for the University of West Florida.
When the ground gets saturated the way it did, the groundwater rises. It goes to the nearest tributary or creek or bayou or river, and it starts to come up in the center of it, causing that area to flood.
The Pensacola area has had its share of flooding in recent years. In June of 2012, Pensacola received up to 23 inches of rain over the course of a three-day period, resulting in flash floods and washed-out roads in some areas of the city. In April of this year, the city received an estimated total of 20 inches of rain, only this time in a 24-hour period, and leaving a larger, considerably more destructive footprint. Dr. David Tomasco, an environmental scientist from Tampa, says perhaps these so-called rare rain events are becoming less rare than they are being made out to be.
It's important to keep in mind, are we seeing a changing frequency of supposedly rare occurrences? And my house in Tampa, we've had two rain events that classify as 100-year events, and I've only lived there since 2000.
Dr. Tomasco says it's clear that weather patterns are changing and communities need to acknowledge that and adapt.
You are getting storm events that were exceedingly rare and you're getting them more often.
Right.
And maybe that's a pure anomaly and you're never going to have it again. Or maybe you're going to have more of them. But rather than hurricanes, I think the idea of rain events, that's probably a real big issue.
Despite the recurring threat of flood damage, homeowners continue to choose to live in flood-prone areas along coastal and inland waterways. To keep people from building in those areas and out of harm's way, Christian Wagley says he'd like to see greater buffer zones along the waterfront. Additionally, he advocates land development codes that discourage outward sprawl and put more emphasis on the revitalization of older, existing communities.
There are so many lands that are already high and dry. We know they don't flood, and they could be developed in more compact ways with the types of traditional neighborhoods that allow people to walk and bicycle more, and we'd use the land a little more densely, and we wouldn't have to push into some of these low-lying areas that are more flood-prone.
As an example, he says it would be a wiser investment of taxpayer dollars to consider infill development within areas such as Warrington, Brownsville, and the Belmont-DeVillers neighborhood. In addition to the need to stop spreading out with our land development, Wagley says there's also an opportunity to find more effective means of managing our stormwater. Rather than building the typical retention pond bordered by a chain-link fence, he says the city of Pensacola has shown that there's a better way, with Admiral Mason Park.
I think that's the kind of a feature that neighborhoods could really get behind, to see that kind of a park space in their neighborhood with a water feature and beautiful landscaping and places to sit and shade, where instead of a weed-filled retention pond that's ugly that nobody wants to be near, people could actually have a neighborhood amenity that I think people would celebrate and look forward to having, and it would also help to minimize flooding in these neighborhoods as well.
While stormwater management systems like Admiral Mason Park are nice, they also tend to be more expensive. When it comes to finding solutions for problems, such as flooding and poor drainage, money is often the driving force. Wagley has another take on the impact of money.
I think if local governments had to pay more of the cost to fix the flooding damage, and they weren't able to extend their hand to the federal government to get the federal government to pay most or all of those costs, that local governments would plan more proactively.
In the aftermath of the recent storms, there's now an opportunity for developing more effective flood planning. The city of Gulf Breeze recently formed a stormwater management task force, and Escambia County is looking into the possibility of creating one as well. Josh Morton, WUWF News.